Thank you, Trevor. I think God's up to something this morning with the words that were brought, because you'll see as I talk, it's very much along those lines. And I just wanted to give you a word of encouragement that I will be finished before the football starts at 5, so that'd be good. I went to a leaders' conference at ground level a few months ago, and I went to a seminar, and I heard this couple talk, Paul and Joy Blundell from a live church in Lincoln, and I didn't even know from the title what really it was about. I just went to it, and I didn't know the speakers or anything, but it turned out to be one of those moments where God just puts something in your heart that just won't go away, and it started burning. And I just thought, oh, you know, so 2 months later, I'm still thinking about it. So when I had the opportunity to speak this morning, I just thought, okay, God, I'll do it, because I really don't like public speaking at all. So I apologise for anything that I say that isn't helpful, or the way I say it, but I just really felt God wanted me to bring this word. So in a nutshell, I'm going to be talking about that our Monday to Saturday lives really, really matter to God. Where we work, whether we're in education or we're retired, whether we're caring for little people or big people, or even if we're in between jobs at the moment, you know, God has strategically placed us, each one of us, to partner with him, to usher in the kingdom of God and bring transformational change where we are. And I'm going to look at a few practical ways we can do this. But first, I'd just like to give some context so that we can understand what's going on and see that we are an integral part to God's plan to make all things new. So my talk's called All Things New, Partnering with God for Kingdom Transformation in Our Community. So God's got a plan, and it is mahusif. It started at creation, where he obviously created all things in the cosmos. All created things were created. And then we see the fall come in with sin, then ruining and sort of spoiling the beautiful things that God had made and the way he'd made them to work. And then we see God's love poured out, sort of culminating in Jesus, where he dies on the cross and is resurrected, and the redemption happens then. And then we're in the phase of renewal now until he brings everything to a close. So in the scope of that big plan, we are in the renewal bit, the sort of final quarter of his amazing plan. And if we could just read Colossians 1, 18 to 20, and it's from the Message. It says, he, which is Jesus. Jesus was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme at the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything and everyone. So spacious is he, so expansive, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood poured down from the cross. Isn't that amazing? That all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of Jesus' death and his blood poured down from the cross. So on the cross, just before he died, Jesus uttered the words, "It is finished." That's in John 19:30. So at the cross, there was complete victory over sin and all of its terrible effects of pain, sickness, death, and decay. Jesus had done it once and for all. However, with this victory, God didn't do a Thanos at this point. And I know this is weird, and I have got a slide, first slide for that, please. So I just bear with me for a minute. This is relevant. I don't know if you know, but the Marvel Universe, Thanos is like a supervillain. He's got a vision, what he wants to do, and to do it, he has to collect all these stones and get them on this sort of glove thing. Once he's got all the stones in place, all he has to do is snap his fingers, and the vision of the universe actually is, it just happens. It's impacted and it's done. So back to the point, God didn't do it like that. God didn't just click his fingers and have sin and all its effects of pain and sickness and death and decay disappear in an instant. But he could have. Sure, he could have, if he wanted to. After all, God created the whole cosmos, didn't he? A spoken word. And he could have got rid of all of sin's effects like that. But he chose to do it a different way. In my eyes, and I praise God that I'm not God, because I probably would have done it that way. But he chose instead that following his living word, following Jesus' example, that his redeemed and adopted sons and daughters, you and me, would be the means by which the unstoppable wave of his kingdom would come, and that we would appropriate Jesus' death on the cross and all the victory that he had brought. God would establish heaven on earth, community by community. And he would do that with and through his children. God has a massive plan of redemption. He is making all things new. And he has made it part of our divine calling and purpose to join him. And just to let you know, sorry, thank you. There's no passive bystanders in the kingdom. We're all called to be his partner to do this. God wants to use you, and he wants to use you where you are. Amen. So how do we do this? So this is the sort of more practical bit. So I don't know what the next slide is, but oh yeah, that's fine. I just said that. So taking our ordinary lives, you know, when we come out of church, I mean, I'm not knocking church, by the way, just wanted to say that as a caveat, that, you know, church is important. It's the place where we get refreshed, re-envisioned, we practice, we encourage one another. But God's sending us out Monday to Saturday to go out into the world. And what we need to do is actually start looking for the kingdom. So in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So heaven coming to earth, you know, and we're encouraged to seek the kingdom first. So what we're doing is looking for where the kingdom is present and active, and looking for the places where it isn't, where it's absent, and where we can see like the broken and the dislocated pieces, which, sad to say, are all around us still. So we're looking for signs of the kingdom. What are the signs of the kingdom? So theologians tell us that Isaiah 61 is a great place to look, because it's the verse that Jesus actually read at the start of his ministry when he was in the synagogue. And it's almost like a manifesto telling you, you know, if you want to see what the kingdom is like, this is what it looks like. And so we're just going to read it. It's a really beautiful verse. It's Isaiah 61, verses 1-3. So the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Wow. So from these verses, we get, theologians tell us, we get seven signs of the kingdom, which I think I've got a slide for. So we've got the presence of God coming in. The Lord is on me and the Lord has anointed me. We get justice, which is good news to the poor. Healing, where we're sent to bind up the brokenhearted. And we get freedom, which is salvation and complete deliverance from sin, from freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. We get peace from the year of the Lord's favour, because that is the shalom of God. Nothing broken, nothing missing in him. And his shalom, peace, brings that. We're to comfort all who mourn, so we get comfort. And we get joy from the oil of joy and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So these are the seven signs of the kingdom being present. Or maybe more importantly, the signs of the kingdom being absent, you know, where you are, what you're doing. So what we need to do is to look around and ask the Holy Spirit, is the kingdom active here or is it absent? And I'm not talking about in church, I'm talking about, you know, when you're going to work, whether you're at school, you know, you might be at the doctor's and, you know, just being open to the Holy Spirit and what he's saying and being responsive to it. And I'd almost say it's brilliant where the kingdom is present, because God's bigger than, you know, the church, and he's doing stuff all around us. But where it is absent is where, you know, we can get involved. So what we need to do is, if we see something where we just feel that God's saying that something's not right here, you know, there's a lack of joy or peace or freedom or something doesn't sit right because, you know, someone's mourning and they're not comforted, or there is lack of joy. We need to take that, and we need to do two things. One is pray. First, bring it to God and pray that his kingdom would come into that situation. And equally as important, we need to act. I would say that one without the other is not enough. That might sound sacrilege, because we're called to pray about a lot of things. But I just really felt that, you know, the action is really important. But it's important that we pray and hear from God and then act. And equally, it's not enough just to see something and think, I'll go and sort that out. I think we need to pray about it and hear what God's saying, because he has the insight and he wants to partner with us. And that's the whole point in all of this, is that he created us for relationship, and this is a purpose that he wants us to be fully involved in. So I'm just going to invite Helen, if you don't mind. I've asked Helen and Barty, because I know that both Helen and Barty have jobs where they're, you know, interacting with people, and I've just asked if they could think and just share a testimony of where they felt God help them, or, you know, show them something where the kingdom was missing, and they prayed into that. So can I ask you, Helen?
Thanks. Okay, for those of you who don't know, I have been a teacher for 30 plus years, which is aging me now. when I first trained to be a teacher, back in the early 90s, when some people weren't even alive in this room, I knew that I wasn't going to be a mainstream classroom teacher for all of my career. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew that I wouldn't be doing that. I did do that for 7 years. And God has taken me through a series of different roles and different experiences. And in 2010, I started my own business. So by this point, I had quite a lot of experience of working with children with special educational needs. And I had trained to be a... that's a bit of a long... I'll give you my title and then I'll tell you what it means. Specific Learning Difficulties Specialist Teacher Assessor. Yeah. Nobody knows what it is. Basically, I'm a dyslexia specialist and I assess and teach children and adults with dyslexia. So I started my business in 2010 and there were so many ways that God has guided me and answered prayers during that time. But I asked God, I'm like, which story? Because, you know, I could be here and you could miss the football. But some of you probably don't want that. So I prayed about it. And God reminded me of a time when I was chatting about my work with Brian. And at the time, I was doing a lot of tutoring, one-to-one tutoring, an awful lot of tutoring. I had 20-plus students a week. And I was assessing people to see if they had dyslexia. And that was probably, at that time, the extent of what I was doing. And Brian said, he said, it's really good what you're doing, but you'll have more impact if you are in schools. And he just, it was one of those Brian comments that he kind of throws in and then he moves on. And you're kind of like, what? It's like a bomb in the middle of your life. So I was kind of like, oh, okay. I had no real connections with schools by that point. I had been out of the kind of the school system, if you like, for quite a number of years. And so I prayed about it and I sort of didn't really know what to do with it. So I just prayed about it. And I can't say that I was, you know, on my knees every day praying about this. Occasionally it would come back to mind and I go, oh, yeah, all right, God. Yeah, okay. Kind of agreeing and going, but I don't know. I don't know what it looks like. And then one day, a normal, mundane going to Sainsbury's day, I was coming out of Sainsbury's with the trolley of shopping. I don't think you were there, were you? No. I don't know how you got out of that. So I was coming out of Sainsbury's and walking towards me was a lady called Andrea Hansen. She's Christian. Her husband is the minister at the Sawbridgeworth Evangelical Congregational Church. And I knew her vaguely from some work I'd done in the school just there, actually. She was deputy there a while ago. And I'd also tutored her daughter. And she came walking towards me. She doesn't usually shop in Sainsbury's. They live in Sawbridgeworth. So they don't usually come to Harlow to go for their food shopping. And she walked towards me as I was walking out and she went, you are the answer to my prayer. And I'm like, this is just like a normal day. I was just doing my shopping. And I'm like, all right. Hi, Andrea. And she had just taken over being the director of inclusion at an academy trust in the town that at the time had two schools. So it was just two schools, and they'd just taken on a third school. And she was like, oh, it was September. And she said, oh, I'm really short. Could you help me out for 2 or 3 weeks doing one plans, which is a process that we do for children who are on the special needs register. And they need target setting for the term. And she was like, we've just taken on another school. It doesn't have a Senko. Could you help me for 2 or 3 weeks doing these meetings? And I'm thinking, well, that's going to be entertaining when I don't know the children or the school. So I was like, oh, yeah, all right. I thought, oh, it's a couple of weeks' work, you know, that's fine. And to cut a very long story short, I went for 2 or 3 weeks. They extended it for half a term, then they extended it for a term. And I think this is my 8th year there now. And I've done various roles, including being Senko at that school that they'd just taken on. And the trust now oversees 6 primary schools, 5 of them are in Harlow. And I'm now, Andrew and I used to get together to pray about the trust and about how to move the team forward. And we felt during one of these times that we should get a team of specialists, because the specialist teachers that County used to provide have gone with all the cuts. And we've gradually over the years built a team, and we're the only trust in the town that have this type of team of specialists. So I'm one of them. We have an autism specialist. We have a speech and language therapist. Somebody else in the team is training to be a mental health specialist. And so it's really, really amazing what God's done. And going back to what Brian said about having influence, I now train LSAs and teachers across the trust to support children, particularly with dyslexia, but those types of learning difficulties. And I've introduced interventions that have been rolled out across the trust to support these children. Thank you. Siobhan is part of the trust as well. And yeah, they do work. We're getting amazing results. And just a few weeks ago, a head approached me and said, I want you to train my teachers to teach them how to teach kids to spell that isn't phonics. Because the national curriculum really pushes phonics, and we have to do it. But she was like, I know it doesn't work for people who are dyslexic and others, so I want you to train all of my teachers, and we're going to teach another way alongside it. So that's September's challenge. I hate doing training. But with God, I know I can do it. And so it's just been amazing. I didn't look for it. It scares me when I think about it, and I have to do it with God. But the level of influence now, you're just like, wow, that, how did that happen? I mean, God, but yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you, Helen. Barty?
I think a few weeks ago, I shared that, like, it was difficulty with my manager, and then she's still the same, but a bit quiet. But the thing what I'm here to share is, since a few years, I was just doing only outpatient clinic, so I just completely cut away from my team. I felt so happy because it is in Hudson Essex, no crowd, no any business. So it's so good, and no need to see all the matrons and big, big bosses there. Polite and so good, just patients and me and the outpatient team. So it was so good. Praise God, I had enough. Most of the days I had time to spend to listen to God's word, sermons and all during break times and stuff, because there is no other rush or anything. So it was so good. It helped me to improve. But since this matron came, she just collapsed everything. She's just bringing me into her plan. And I was so adamant. I'm so sorry, God. I was so adamant. I didn't want to give up my position, because I initiated, I created this. My pride was too much at that time. But somehow God didn't answer my things. I was just always praying why I have to give up and things. And then later I started learning that God keeps saying obey. Whenever I hear things, and then it just keeps reminding obey. Then I thought, okay, so it was very difficult to come out of my human things. And then I started obeying. I stopped arguing or I stopped answering her in the way like, what I'm doing is right. So, okay, you want this? I'll do it. So I just came out, and then whatever changes she made it, I did it. It was so difficult, but I came out, and then I'm just going now I have more time with my colleagues and stuff. I had to come to inpatient team and stuff. Then I was just wondering why God brought me here. I was just crying because it's just changed entirely what I was doing, and now it's different. I had to adjust so many things. And then one day I had a time with my colleague and we were discussing something, and then I just shared about the Chosen series. She is a Christian, but she was from a Catholic or kind of background, so not really into the thing, and she was not going to church for a few time and with the family thing. So, and then I was sharing, and then we started discussing about Bible, and it moved her. She started watching it, and she came and said one day, "Bharti, my whole data has finished because I was watching all those three seasons." So, and then she was very happy. She felt like it brought peace to me. I know she's in the midst of so many her personal issues, and she says, "Now I have kind of hope and peace on me. Thank you for leading me to Chosen." Then I thought, okay, God, thank you. I have another fan for Chosen. I'm happy. And then one day I was with my other colleague. I didn't know at that time that she's a non-believer, but I had a doubt. So, and then when we were discussing, she was watching some news during breakdown, and she said, "Bharti, there is an issue going with the mortgages or some discussions in parliament or something." I'm not good in politics anyway, so I don't watch anything. And she said, "Oh, okay. Bharti, are you not feeling afraid? You have a mortgage. You should see, watch what's..." I said, "When I came to this country, I never even thought that I would buy a house. So if God gave me, He would know, you know." And then she looked at me and said, "Okay, what if they made a decision and they ask all the non-English people should leave the country, so what you would do?" I said, "You're too negative." And I said, "Okay, if it happens, we should go, no other choice. And I believe that God wouldn't just send me like that, you know, with empty hands. I know I came with empty hands, but now I have everything I need, more than that. So I'm sure He will do that." And then she again looked at me like, "Are you mad?" kind of look. And then we were just discussing about houses and stuff. And then she asked, "My neighbor is bad and blah, blah, blah." And then I said, "We had bad neighbors in our previous house, but when we looked for a house, the first priority we gave was, we need a good neighbor, God. We just prayed, and then we got a house, and now we are blessed with good neighbors. Even one of our house keys, the set, is with my neighbor. That good neighbors God has blessed. So, as you say, I just pray for everything, and it happens." And she looked. And then I didn't stress her, but I asked my other colleague, "Is she a believer or is she a Christian?" And she said, "She used to go to church, and then she stopped for a few years for some reason." So, and then we both decided, okay, we will have to share whenever we get time to her about God, how good God is and how graceful He has brought us to this level. So I think God has placed me, He broke my hardness of heart to bring to this place so that I can share His goodness to this person. I'm not sure, I'm not that good, but I can just share whenever I get time, like, this is how God had done things in my life. So, thank you, God, for that.
That's brilliant. I think a few weeks ago, Bharti shared in this about the same job, that there was a lack of peace, I think, and you were really under pressure, and she went in and prayed, and it brought peace to the sort of department and the other staff, which was absolutely amazing. But praise God, and well done for obeying. So So just in summary, because that's really what I wanted to bring today, was that God is on a mission and he wants to make all things new and he wants to fix all the broken and dislocated pieces in the world, and there's a lot of them, and they're all around us. But, you know, he has chosen you and me to do that. And our Monday to Saturday lives are important. You know, what you do for a living or don't do for work, you're doing other things. God wants to use you in those situations. And so he's inviting us on an exciting adventure, one that we were made for, to partner with him to see the kingdom transforming our workplaces, our communities, our schools, our neighbourhoods, everywhere where life happens. I just want to encourage each one of us to engage with God. And my final slide is just from Romans 12:1, which is Paul's words, and this is from the Message, and he says, so here's what I want you to do with God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, work, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And he will do mighty things. Amen.